here once again and to minister to you and to fellowship with you on God's Word this morning. It's a great joy to be in one of our supporting churches. And so thank you again for being here and for having me back once again. As Pastor just shared, that we are getting closer to our goal to get to Mozambique. We are at 88%, with still some churches, one church voting on us today, and then two churches will be voting on us in the month of September. And so we are trusting and praying that we'll be able to get to 100% before the end of the year or by the end of the year. So God is doing some great things in our lives, and we are grateful for what God is doing. At the moment, we are set and ready to go to move to Mozambique. We have completed all the things that need to be done with baptism and missions. We are going to be doing some cultural training, but apart outside of those few things that need to be done, we are ready and set to go to Mozambique. So we are giving God thanks for that. This morning, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be going to God's Word. And, you know, this is one of the things that is dear to my heart as we are getting ready to go to Mozambique and to do ministry in Mozambique. And as you are thinking of missions, as you are thinking of the world around us, you know, one of the things I want to challenge us this morning, you know, is not to let your ministry be done only through the local church or through missionaries that you are supporting, but for you to be personally involved in missions. One of the things that I have asked myself on different occasions is this, you know, why is it so hard to share the gospel? And if you're like me, I am not naturally an extrovert person. I am more of an introvert. You really have to draw things out of me. I am not naturally an extrovert person. Joel Troster in Mozambique, I wish I could be like him. He is a naturally extrovert person. He makes conversation with whomever he comes in contact with. My pastor back in Des Moines, Pastor Bradley, he is naturally an extrovert person. He is very open, and he is not afraid to speak up and to speak loudly as well. And so, but for me, that is not natural for me. It is something I have to work on. To build conversation, to start conversation, is something I have to be intentional about. And that may be you this morning. You know, you are not naturally an outspoken person, and it takes you some time to develop relationship or even to start conversation. And so we find a struggle to share the gospel. We find a struggle to find those open doors to really communicate God's word to people. And so as I am thinking through those things, you know, God's word is filled with instructions on how we can equip ourselves or what we can do to share or to be bold to share God's word. We have examples through our scripture that we can go towards to find, to help us to be able to communicate God's word. And one such passage I'd want to take us to this morning, as we look at this together, as I share with you that, you know, this is something I have to work on, even though I am going on a mission field. This is something I have to purpose myself to do. And I want to challenge you this morning as well that we ought to be doing this. This is not something that we should allow just to go to someone else or to give over to someone else to do. But this is something that we should be intentional about. And so as I mentioned, I'm mentioning right now that each and every one of us, we have been placed in a harvest field. And as we are getting ready to move into harvest, you know, we all have knowledge of what that is like and how harvesting is done here in Iowa. But as we are getting ready to be in the harvest field, as we are serving in the harvest field that God has placed us, are we being intentional? Are we being effective in the harvest field that God has placed us to work in? And I would say to us that each and every one of us as believers, we have been put in a harvest field, But whether we are being effective or not, that is another story. As we are ministering in the harvest field that God has placed us in, I believe that as believers, we ought to be intentional so that we can be effective in the harvest field. And so if you will then, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. See, Matthew chapter 9, we look from chapter 9 and verse 35 on down. So in our passage it says here in Matthew chapter 9, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will bring forth laborers into his harvest field." Let us pray. Eternal God, we are so grateful, we are so thankful, O God, for your word. Lord, it is such a great privilege that we have, Lord, to be your workmanship. That, Lord, as you have saved us from the pit of hell, that God, you have now equipped us to be your laborers into your harvest field. I pray, God, that each and every one of us today will be challenged, God, in our personal involvement in evangelism, that God will take time, will be intentional about sharing the gospel with people that we come in contact with. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your great example. In Christ we pray, not. Amen. As believers, I believe, as I said earlier, that we ought to be effective in the harvest field that God has called us to labor in. But in order for us to be effective in the harvest field, is that we ought to be intentional or be purposeful in the harvest field that God has placed us in. We ought to be purposeful, and what that simply means is that we are intentional about the things that we do. And if you are a farmer, I don't know much about farming, but I do know that if you are a farmer, this analogy sits well with you, or you understand this, that when it is time for harvesting, if you leave your field untouched, that harvest is going to spoil. And so you have to be intentional, you have to plan, and you have to be purposeful in how you go about harvesting your field. There are so many things to consider when you are harvesting a field. And so as we are thinking about harvesting the field that God has placed us in, we ought to be, even with more diligence, planning and be intentional about this harvest field. Because this harvest field that God has placed us in, it is so much more valuable, it is so much more important than any harvest field that we have. And so we see in our text, it says that as Jesus is going about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, as he is doing this, something was happening. And so let us put our minds now back in when Jesus was on earth, and it says that in different passages, it says that when Jesus preaches, or whenever he was teaching, he would teach as one having authority. And so his teaching was different from those of the Pharisees. His teachings were different from those of the Sadducees, from those who were teaching in the synagogue. And so because of his teaching method, because of his teaching style, people were drawn to this man, because he was teaching as one with authority, and so he was drawing a crowd with him. Not only that, but he was also doing some great things. He was healing. He was doing some great things as he was doing that. He was feeding people. And so these things attracted a great multitude. And so think of this, the multitude that was with him. It wasn't so much different from what we have in our world today. And so you would think that in this multitude, you would have people from all different walks of life. You would have some farmers, you would have some lawyers, you would have some doctors, You would have some teachers, you would have some religious people, you would have some not so religious people, you would have some skeptics, you would have some people who are wholeheartedly sold out to the Jewish religion, you would have some people who are poor, who are not so poor, you would have the rich, well-educated. So you'd have a diverse group here of people who were gathered together to hear this man preach. And as he is doing this, he is observing the people that he was ministering to. And as he is observing them, something happened. As he is observing, it says in our text, it says, and Jesus went about all the villages and cities and teaching in their synagogues. And as he is doing this, he observed the people. If we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God has called us to labor in, we must be purposeful in the harvest field where God has placed us. And so I want to share with us three principles that can help us to be purposeful in the harvest field that God has called us to work in. Principle number one is that if we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God has placed us to work in, is that we must see people the way Christ saw them. We must see people the way Christ saw them. And so how did Christ see the people as he was ministering to? Remember, there were people just like you and I. There were people just like your neighbors. There are people just like your family members, people just like your classmates, people just like your friends, people just like your people in your community. And so these are the people that he was ministering to. And so as he was doing this, it says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion in them. And the reason for his moving, or the reason for his compassion, was because the people he saw who were rich, poor, educated, not so educated, healthy, not so healthy. There were people who were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God has called you and I to work in, is we must first begin to see people the way Christ saw them. And so how he saw them, here are the descriptions that he used to describe the people that he saw. He said that people were fainted, and what was happening was that Christ was ministering to people who were going to the synagogues, as it says in our text, that he was serving in their synagogues, and as he was in the synagogues, he was seeing these people, and these people were going to the synagogues to hear God's words preached. And who were preaching God's words at this point? It was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, what they were doing, they were burdening people with the law. In order for you to get to heaven, in order for you to make it right with God, these are the things that you need to do. And so people, they were doing these things, and no matter how hard they worked, the Bible describes them as weary, someone who has been carrying a burden without any relief from this burden. And so in one sense, what Christ was saying about these people is that these people, they were like a hamster who was running on a wheel, and no matter how long they run, no matter how hard they run, they will never be able to move anywhere closer to their goal. They will always be in the same place. They could not do anything for themselves to get closer to God. They could not keep the law perfectly enough to get right with God. And so no matter how hard they worked, they had this burden on their back that could not be unburdened by the keeping of the law. So these people, they were weary. He described them as people who were scattered, were fainted, so they have been harassed by the Pharisees. And so these people were being told that you have to keep these laws, and if you don't keep them, then you don't have any relationship with God. And so what you have to do, these are the things that you must do to get rid of these bad things. And so all these things that they were doing, no matter how hard they work, they could not get right with God. So they were being harassed. This guy's idea of of someone who was being troubled or oppressed by the Pharisees. And so as the Lord looked at these people, he saw people who were being oppressed. People who were being bullied or being harassed by the Pharisees. Another thing he used, he said that they were scattered. So the sheep that he saw, or the people that he saw, even though they were going to the synagogue, they were scattered. They had so many different views on who God is. They had so many different views on what it meant to get to God. They were like scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. And so the idea here is that they were helpless. The people, they were helpless, they were being burdened, they were neglected, they were thrown down. And so comes the idea, sheep having no shepherd. Does this remind us of our world today? Does this remind us of our classmates, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis? People who are living in this world, and the world is saying that there are so many ways to get to God. You know, it's not really about going to church, and it's not really about studying God's word, but you get to God your own way. You do what is right in your own eyes. Is this the world that we're living in, where people are coming up with so many different ways to get to God apart from what God has said? See, if we're going to be effective, we must see people the way Christ saw them. And so how did Christ see the people? He saw them as people who were fainted. Sheep having no shepherd. No one to guide them to the truth. No one to teach them in the way of the Lord. So this caused him to have a reaction. This here is my niece, if you can see it. I tried to make it as I could. This is my niece, Zara. Zara is my youngest niece. She is 3 years old now, and so, crazy enough, she is in her school uniform, and she was getting ready to go to school early spring of this year, in February. So this is Zara. The first time I met Zara was 3 years ago. I went to Jamaica to visit. And so they are living with my parents. And when I went home, Zara would have been about, she would have been one at this time. And so, but when I went home, Zara was always crying. Right? Everything she would cry. She wanted something to eat, she would cry. She wanted to climb up into her mom's lap, she would cry. She would go to bed, she would cry. In the middle of the night, she would cry. And I remember being in my room and just wondering to myself, why is she always crying? You know, what is wrong? Is she being spoiled by her mom? You know, and all these things are going through my mind. My beautiful niece here, by the way. And at the middle of the night, you're thinking, you want to sleep and you're getting irritated by it. I'm getting irritated by it. But the following morning, I asked her mom, you know, why is she crying so much? And her mom told me that she's just recovering from the flu. And so she's having difficulty breathing. And for a one-year-old child at that point, that would be a difficult thing. And so, even though I was upset that I wanted to sleep at 2 in the morning, Zara was crying and I wanted to sleep. See, I was not seeing what was going on the inside of Zara. All I could focus on was that she was preventing me from sleeping. See, when I asked what was wrong, I realized that the reason for her crying was her discomfort. See, when we see people behaving in the world, we tend to focus on the outward things that they're doing. We tend to focus on the bad language. We tend to focus on the tattoos that they have. We tend to focus on the way they dress. We tend to focus on the way they talk. We tend to focus on the things that they do. And that was these people that Christ was ministering to. They had all these things that I've just mentioned and more. But Christ was not focusing on their outward appearance. Christ was seeing them for who they really were. Christ was seeing them and the need that they had. If we are going to be effective, we must begin to see people for who they really are. And what they are, or who they are, is that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And so with that, we're going to transition now to principle number 2, where if we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God has called us to labor in, we must feel for people the way Christ saw for them. So Christ saw, and what he saw did not stop there. What he saw motivated him in another way. So after seeing the people, it says that then after seeing the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them. And the word that Matthew used here for the word compassion, it is a word that was used to describe the most inward part of man, and it was believed at this point that this is the seat of man's emotion. And so what Matthew was saying is that this affected Christ from his most inward part. His heart was moved. And why was this the case? It's because of what he saw, he was moved by it. And so what does this mean, that he was moved with compassion? He had sympathy on the people that he saw. He understood their situation, understanding that sin is the real cause for their situation. Sin is the real reason why our friends, why our neighbors, why our bosses, why our family members behave and do the things they do. Sin is the reason why oftentimes we don't act like Christians. Sin is the reason why unbelievers do the things they do. And so he understood that, what their situation. Also, he considered that the real cause for sin, the Bible tells us, that the wages of sin is death. The cause for their sin. So he considered that, and because he considered that, he was motivated to do something about it, according to John 16. That for God so loved the world, he didn't stop there by saying, I love you, but he says that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him, your neighbors, your hard boss, your not so pleasant classmate, your not so pleasant neighbors, your not so pleasant friends, that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this has become one of my favorite verses in the Bible, where it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but for God commended his love towards me, while I was still a sinner. Not after I became good, not after God saw that I was a good person, but while I was a sinner, while I wanted nothing to do with him, while I was an enemy of God, Christ died. This is love being expressed right here. That Christ commended, that Christ gave or demonstrated his love towards you, towards me, while we're enemies of the King. That is the love that he demonstrated. See, if we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God wants us to be, what God has placed us in, we must see people the way Christ saw them. We must feel for people the way Christ felt for them. And what Christ felt for them was sympathy, and from his sympathy, he had love towards them. And his love caused him to sacrifice all for the world. So here's a question I would like to ask. You don't need to answer it right now, but I just want you to ponder this question for a moment. What are you willing to sacrifice to see others come to Christ? See, the Bible tells us that God gave all so that you and I can come to him. And then he says that we are his workmanship. We are his laborers in his harvest field. And so he said that we ought to love. And Pastor Dan said that you know, as was mentioned yesterday at the retreat, that our church ought to have an aroma of love. As believers, we ought to love people the way Christ loved them. And so the love that Christ had for us is a love that caused him to sacrifice. And so the question is, what are we willing to sacrifice to see others come to Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice our time? Are we willing to sacrifice, here's one that is very hard for me, are we willing to sacrifice our pride? You know, when I say pride, you know, the feeling of being rejected with the gospel, when you take the gospel to someone. Are you willing to sacrifice that pride? You know, are we willing to sacrifice our emotions? Are we willing to sacrifice our comfort? Are we willing to sacrifice our life? to see others come to Christ. That's what Christ did for us. See, if we're going to be effective, we must begin to feel for people. We must begin to love our neighbors. We must begin to love our family members. We must begin to love even those that don't want to have anything to do with Christ. Finally, final principle is that if we're going to be effective in the harvest field that God has called us to labor in, we must do as He commands. And so let's notice what's going on in the rest of the text. He says that, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. His heart was stirred. His heart was broken. And so because His heart was broken because of their situation, He says that He said to His disciple, the harvest truly is plentiful. My wife and I, we planted a garden in the back this past spring. And last year we planted our first garden and it didn't turn out so well. And so I was actually jealous of Pastor Dan and his garden in his yard. But we planted one this past spring. And we had so many tomatoes that we could not eat them all. We were able to give to our neighbors and to give to other family members. And right now they're on our tree spoiling because we have no idea what to do with them. Our harvest, I mean, we just had a lot of tomatoes, a lot of peppers at our yard right now. We're giving God thanks for the harvest. Whereas one thing about the harvest, though, is that the longer they stay on the plant, you know, they will go spoil. And so we're finding that we have to be picking tomatoes and throwing them away because we left them too long on the vine. It's the same thing with souls. See, the longer we take to take the gospel, we're finding that people are dying on a daily basis, going separated from God. And so notice what it says, as he saw the multitudes, he says to his disciple, the harvest truly is plentiful. This is my command to you. This is what I want you to do. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest field. So I am from Jamaica, as I mentioned earlier. And so in Jamaica, corn is for us here in Iowa. Sugarcane is for us in Jamaica. Sugarcane, I mean, we have one time of the year when we harvest the sugarcane, and whenever it is harvest time, everyone knows. Because the farmers, what they would do, they would go out in the communities and they would hire people to come in and to harvest their cane and to truck their harvest to the factory for it to be processed to become sugar. And so if the farmers wait too long, they will find out that they probably will not be able to harvest their cane, or they will not have enough laborers to harvest all their crops. And so they have to get out there early enough to get people. And by the way, folks, this is done manually. So someone will get a machete and they will go through the cane field and they will cut those canes. I'm talking about acres of canes. All right? But everything has to be done at a certain time in order for them to get it to the harvest, to the processing plant. This is the same idea that God has right here. Christ has prayed to the Lord of the harvest because the harvest is plentiful. Someone said this once, that for every believer, they have at least seven people in their lives that they can share the gospel with. At least seven people in their lives that they have come in contact with that they can share the gospel with. And so, here's what Christ is saying. As you are working in the harvest field, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into His harvest field. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful. There are people in our lives that need to hear the gospel. And folks, I tell you that this is something I have to work on. I have to remind myself that as I am interacting with people, I ought to be intentional to share the gospel with them. I ought to make every opportunity I have to be a gospel opportunity. every opportunity I have. And so it starts by praying for your neighbors, praying for your family members, praying for your bosses, praying for your friends, but pray that God will raise up others. But as you are praying, guess what? If you go down to chapter 10, he says in verse 5, as they are praying, the Lord says, I want you now to go. I don't want you to pray and stay on your knees. I want you to pray and then get up and go in the harvest field that God has called you to serve. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Make disciples. As you are going, you ought to be making disciples. If we are going to be effective in the harvest field that God has called us to work in, we must see people the way Christ saw them. We must feel for people the way Christ felt for them. But we must do as he commands. See, when we begin to see people the way Christ saw them, then we begin to understand who people are. And then that should shape our heart to love people the way Christ loved them. That should shape our heart also to do what Christ has commanded us to do. Are you effective in the harvest that God has called you to work in? Are you intentional in the harvest that God has called you to work in? I know I can do some work. I can do some work on my own life. But who is that person in your life that needs you to open your mouth and share that gospel? That needs you to just sacrifice your pride, sacrifice that time to share the gospel with them? I pray and hope that you will be intentional in the harvest field God has called you to work in. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful and so thankful for your word. So many around us, oh God, who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, unless we open our mouths and share the gospel, Lord, they will not come to know you. But Lord, we are so grateful that you said that none that has been given unto you will be lost. But help us, oh Lord, not to become complacent. But Lord, to be purposeful to seek out the lost, so that, Lord, we can bring them home to you. In Christ and Christ. Amen.